do call them out to the Lord. Amen. I'm sure they appreciate your prayers. Amen. Genesis chapter number 1 tonight. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to start into the introduction of the book of Genesis tonight. There is 50 chapters. And we don't know exactly how it's going to go on, but my plan is to do a little gleaning through the book of Genesis, not necessarily verse by verse like we've done a lot of our other studies. Try to hit some of the highlights. What I would like to happen, if the Lord would allow, is to kind of go through a chapter a night, and so that'll be 50 weeks, so that'll be around a year through the book of Genesis. But we'll see how it goes, amen. Now, some of those chapters are lengthy, and there's a lot of things in there, and you start trying to glean some truths out of it, man, you can get bogged down. But that is the plan, so that's the little outline of how we'll try to do it, and we'll see how far it goes, amen, hopefully. Amen. So Genesis chapter number 1. What I'm going to do tonight, let's just read a verse and we'll pray and I'll give you a little bit more. Good to be in church.
Amen.
Good to see you here. Amen. Continue to remember one another in prayer. Had some special prayer requests tonight for some issues in the church. You keep them in prayer. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Hail him who saved you by his grace. Thank God for salvation. Amen. Amen. Brother James did get those EDMs in the mail. Also going Friday to put some more in the mail. So hopefully we can hit some of these other surrounding areas. We pray to God to give an increase to them as the word of God goes out by mail. Kind of like they did in the book of Esther that we studied. Amen. They sent it back on mule and horseback. Amen. They sent it out through the postman. So we're sending out through the postman trying to get the gospel around in our area. The news that we're sending out is a whole lot better news than what they sent out the first in Esther, wasn't it, amen? It means a bloody war. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. What's the first word?
In
the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let us pray. Brother Terry Brooks, how about pray for us, brother?
First time the Father has come to you, Father, in prayer, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for another beautiful day to be made. Thank you for your blood and your mercy on our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to be back at the house of God tonight, Father. We pray and ask that you meet with us tonight, bless the service. Pray and ask, Father, for all the prayer requests. Prayer list, Father, pray for our lost blood and our children, Father. We pray and ask.
Yes, Lord.
Help and save them, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Pray that you help the man of God tonight, Father. Just bring forth the word. Pray that you mold and sanctify, Father. Pray and ask that you
amen. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The book of Genesis is called the book of the beginnings. Amen. Genesis means the beginnings. That's why it's called Genesis. What I want to do tonight, and we'll see how long it'll take, we're going to go through the introduction of the book itself. I've got several different books, and I know the Bible itself is the best commentary on any book of the Bible, amen? And the Holy Ghost of God is the teacher to guide us into all truths. But saying that, God's also used some men that has wrote some books on the books of the Bible that's been very helpful in understanding what God is doing and saying in other places. And so with that being said, I've got a little outline here that's actually from a book of Genesis that Arthur Pink wrote. Amen. So I want to go through some of the things he did. Now, I do want to clarify, Arthur Pink is a well-known Calvinist. And if you know anything about Calvinism, it's a damnable heresy.
Amen.
Calvinism, you know, to the farthest extent and any glimpse of it, amen, that teaches that God died for just an elect and the rest of them are going to go to hell from the beginning, that is a heresy. And amen, that is not what we believe and teach, but he had that wrong, amen. But on top of that, he also had some great things right that he taught. And so I kind of went through some of the stuff he wrote about in his introduction to the book of Genesis and kind of scratched it out because I know it's not right. It's kind of like what somebody said when it comes to reading a commentary. Sometimes you got to eat the fish and spit out the bones. And so if we're going to try to spit out the bones and get the meat, amen. And he has got some good stuff. Probably got one of the, my opinion, one of the best commentaries on the book of John ever written was written by Arthur Pink. And there's some great authors out there. Dr. Rutland's got a lot of great stuff he's done. And his book is good on John. But now you pick up Arthur Pink's book in John, it's about that thick. Man, it's got some very good stuff on that book, amen. If you can do away with the Calvinism and maybe some of the other stuff. You know, no author has got any rights to claim complete authority. This Bible has got complete authority. Amen. So let God be true and every man a liar. So anytime any man goes contrary to the word of God, you got to junk it. Amen. Well, let me give you what he did. Look with me in Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15. In the beginning, God, the book of Genesis. Romans chapter number 15. This is an Old Testament book that we'll be studying. And we know, according to the word of God, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that will be all of the old and all of the new. That would be every word in the word of God. That would be every black word and every red letter word. If you got a red letter edition where they got the words of Christ in red, it would be every italicized word. Amen. And I believe even the numbers within your King James Bible and chapters, amen, God has breathed on and inspired and given us a complete book that we hold in our hands today. Now, all of it's given by inspiration of God. And it's proper. Amen. It's profitable, number one, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. It's to help our lives to grow in the grace of God. Amen. And to point us to Jesus Christ. But saying all of it's given by inspiration, you know as a Bible student that every verse of Scripture is not written directly to you doctrinally. Amen. Where God told Adam and Eve not to eat of a tree, that is a doctrine that's in the Word of God that, hey, we've not given that command. That's not a command for me and you. What's the little song the kids sing, amen? About the commands. My mic's already fell off. Amen. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Every promise in the book's not ours. It's a good fancy song. Amen. It's about like some people's preaching. It's good preaching, but there ain't much truth in it. Amen. Some people can preach real good, but they ain't telling you much. But it sounds good. It might even make you cry. Amen. They tell you a little story, but there ain't much Bible in it. Amen. I'd rather have some Bible. Amen. Truth will make you free. Amen. And it's truth that'll change your life. Some people say, well, as long as you love, that's all that matters. Man, if your love is tainted, it is not all that matters. Amen. God is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Amen. You've got to have the right mixture or you're going to have a mess. Amen. A false balance, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, is an abomination unto the Lord. So all scripture is given to us. Amen. For inspiration. You can be inspired by a lot of things in the Bible. Romans chapter 15, look in verse 4. The Bible said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. You see that? Were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So there's things that were written aforetime. Even though, you know, I wasn't commanded not to eat of the tree of knowledge and good and evil and eat of the tree of life and live forever. But I can learn something out of that story. Hey, number one, I can learn. If I had listened to what God said, I'd be better off. That's inspiration of that text, amen. And when you read the Bible, you need to understand what it says doctrinally, but hey, how can I learn something from that can apply to my life? That me, through patience and comfort, might find hope in the Scriptures, amen. So they're written for us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. He says the same thing over here in a little more insight on it. Amen. Those Old Testament, those aforetime written things, they're there for me and you. So don't just isolate yourself to a few books and say, that's all I need. Now, I understand in dispensation, Brother James has been teaching very fitfully in our Sunday school department, even in adult class, that God has a dispensation for you and I, and Paul is the minister to the Gentiles and whosoever will in this church age dispensation or dispensation of grace, whatever kind of term you'd like to put on it. But all because God gave him instructions for me and you doesn't mean there's a lot of instruction all through this Bible for me and you. That's where people get hyper-dispensationalized, where they just kind of hyperly cut out everything and say, that's all I need. I mean, there's certain people today, they'll take even the books of Paul, and they'll cut some of his books out, you know, like Corinthians, and say, well, that's when he was a missionary epistle, so that ain't got nothing to do with the church today. And start cutting it all out, and you get yourself in a mess like that. And you got to study to show thyself approved. You got to rightly divide the word of God. That's what God commanded us, 2 Timothy 2:15. Hey, but don't go crazy with that thing and start cutting out things that you need in your life. He said in Romans, these things are written aforetime, were written for my learning. They are for me. That's written in a Pauline epistle. Yeah, amen. But you know how you get rid of that? You get rid of Romans and you get rid of Corinthians and then you just got those left. Because he says the same thing in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Well, look in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You weren't baptized into Moses, but they were. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spirit, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. You see, you can learn from that, an example, right? That to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. I mean, I'm not wandering through a wilderness with Moses and the commandments, but they did. But they're a good example for me that I shouldn't wander after lustful things and fall dead in this whole world. And you can learn from that. That's what he's saying. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. Well, you have to learn that, right? And fell in one day 23,000. God judges on them. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. Amen. Why? And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Hey, we can learn from these things. And as we study the book of Genesis and we begin to look at some of those things that happened in, of course, other dispensations and how God lined out things for other people to do, hey, there are still principles and doctrines that we can learn that still fit with us today in the church age. Appropriately has Genesis been termed the seed plot of the Bible. For in it we have in germ form almost all of the great doctrines which are afterwards fully developed in books of Scripture which follow. In a seed form, a lot of things in this book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, that's what it means. In seed form, you find a lot of truths that spread forth through the Word of God. And when we get the complete revelation that we have today, all 66 books, man, all things begin to come together. And you begin to understand the great truths of the Word of God in a whole. In Genesis, God is revealed as the Creator God. In the beginning, God created, amen. As the covenant God, amen, he made covenants with God's people. Brother Tim was talking to me a little bit about that before church tonight. And the Almighty God. We know he's Almighty. We know he's the Creator. We know he has made covenants with mankind. As well as the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Hey, we find that about God in the first book of the Bible. Hey, he should always be highly and lifted up, amen. In Genesis, we have the first hint of the Blessed Trinity. Look in Genesis chapter number 1. Amen. One of the first hints of the Trinity. A lot of people don't believe in the Trinity. What's the Trinity? Trinity is three. The three in one. God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. He said, what is it? 1 John 5:7. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. Amen. And in the book of Genesis, you find it in seed form very early that the Trinity was in the beginning. Hey, it was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep. Look in verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. Hey, you got in the beginning, verse 1, God. In verse 2, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. What does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, who's speaking? That's Jesus Christ, the words of God. So right in creation, you got the Trinity beginning to show itself. Look in verse 26 also. And when he began to make man, he said, and God said, let what? Who's us? That's more than one. Let us make man in our image. That is plural, amen. And right at the gate in the book of Genesis, you find out that God is a triune God. He said, well, I don't believe in the Trinity. I know, man, it doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible teaches that principle to be so. Amen. And you find that very early on in the beginning, the persons of the Godhead, let us make man in our image. In Genesis, man is exhibited first as the creature of God's hands, then as a fallen, sinful being. God created him, and then in verse chapter 3, we see his fall. And a sinful being, amen. Here he is, perfect in nature, perfect in his creation, and he falls, and now he's a sinful being. And later, one who is brought back to God. So you see him perfect, you see him a sinner, then you see him being brought back to God. That is in C4 right at the beginning, what God bringing mankind back into a relationship with him. Now, we know it was different there. An animal had to die. Amen. Possibly a lamb. Amen. Just like in type of how it was through the Word of God. But the Bible doesn't say it was a lamb. But there was blood shed. Amen. And yet something had to die for the sins of mankind. Hey, God's bringing them back into a relationship with him. Early on in the beginning, God's showing you his concern for mankind. Amen. God cares about you and I. So we see God's hand on man. Amen. We see the fallen, sinful nature of man. We see later on God bringing man back to him and finding grace in his sight. Look in chapter 6 and verse 8. Look at this. Man's a sinful being. And then the Bible says in chapter 6 and verse 8, he finds grace. Who was it? We know in this example it's Noah. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see man finding grace. Look in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. What do you find early on in the Bible? That man found grace, and we find him walking with God after he finds grace. Hey, grace produces a walk in your life. Hey, in type, that's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and verse 10. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are here, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So mankind finds grace, and then he begins to walk with God. And later on, you find man being a friend of God. James 2 and 23 speaks about Abram being a friend of God. So let's look at this thing in Genesis. Number one, in Genesis, in seed form and in types, we see the wiles of Satan are exposed. Satan's exposed. Amen. The Bible says, look, hold your place here. Well, this turn. Turn to 2 Corinthians 2. Satan's exposed. Amen. Right out of the gate. As we'll see in Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, it's without form and darkness. Hey, Satan already showed up right after the first verse. Now, a lot of people don't believe that truth, but we'll look at it as we get there. Amen. We know he showed up over there in Genesis chapter number 3 in the garden. But, man, he'd already been working. He'd already been having his way. He was that anointed cherub that covered, and he'd already been kicked out of glory. Amen. He'd been mulling around down on this earth before mankind was, I believe. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We see in Genesis the wiles of the devil are exposed. Amen. You can find out how wicked he is. He's a wicked being. 2 Corinthians 2, look in verse 11. The Bible says this. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of what? His devices. You begin to learn his work very early. In the beginning, book of Genesis, the first thing he did was cast doubt on God's word. You start learning his devices, his way of working, his way of dealing with man. You know, you kind of find that thing played out just like it is in 1 John 2:15. Amen. The love of the world, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's still his main three bases that he works off of to destroy mankind. So we see him being exposed. We are not to be ignorant of his devices. For here, the Holy Spirit has fully uncovered him. We see him in the book of Genesis, the first book in our Bible, how wicked the devil is. And he is not to be played with, amen. The realm in which the anarch enemy works is not the moral, but the spiritual. He calls into question the word of God, casts doubt on its integrity, and denies what God has to say. That is the devil. And you see him in the beginning being exposed. So now we see his wiles exposed of the devil. But number two, we see in Genesis the truths of salvation is typically displayed. Now, we know they're not saved the same way, but boy, it's displayed all through the book of Genesis how we got it. In type, we learn exactly examples. We look back knowing what the cross of Calvary did, and we've got the enlightenment of the death, burial, and resurrection. When you're reading that Old Testament, the veil's been taken off. And we can understand through the book of Genesis that people at that time, some things they couldn't clearly understand. But when we look back, we see Christ all in it. Amen. We see him in creation. We see him with Abram taking his son up on the mountain. Amen. And we see it typified and displayed through the lives of others. Amen. Our fallen first parents are clothed by God himself, clothed with skin. To those skins, death had to come in, blood must be shed, and the innocent was slain in the stead of the guilty. You see that right out of the beginning, how God's going to save mankind. The Lamb of God's going to come and take away the sins of the world. He's going to shed his blood, amen, just as God tried to reconcile and bring back his first two created beings in relationship with him. We see it typified, and it's played all the way through the Old Testament. Only thus could man's shame be covered, and only thus could the sinner be fitted to stand before a thrice holy God. So we see these things, these seed forms being shown through the Old Testament that's going to bring forth great truths when you put it all together. Amen. This is what we see. Amen. Number three, we see that in Genesis, the believer's security is strikingly illustrated. Amen. You see the security of God illustrated. When we look at that Old Testament, we know the security we have in Christ in the New Testament as believers, that God saves us forever. And you see this strikingly illustrated through the Old Testament. The flood of the divine judgment descends upon the earth. You remember when God flooded the earth and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Amen. And swallows up all the guilty inhabitants. But Noah, who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, was safely preserved in the ark, unto which God had shut him up. That's an illustration of security of a believer in Christ. Amen. God called him into him. Amen. And God sent him out. Amen. Hey, there's a type of that Old Testament, that ark, that flood. Amen. How God's security is on those that trust and believe in him that find his grace. That's a great example. Amen. It's illustrated. And you see these illustrations played out. What the problem is, a lot of times when it comes to that Old Testament and not understanding dispensations the way that it's been taught and the way it should be taught, they take the illustrations to be actual truths. When Adam and Eve sinned, clearly did, by the wiles of Satan, they were tripped up. Amen. God killed he killed a literal animal. They was literal blood shed. That was not the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. But it illustrates that. But what a lot of people do is they take the illustration to be an actual thing and then make everybody saved the same way. Adam and Eve was looking forward. Man, they didn't know nothing about the cross. Amen. I mean, the disciples didn't really clearly understand the cross, and they walked with the Lord, amen, for 3.5 years. So you have to understand your Bible. Amen. All because these illustrations are there doesn't mean they're actual ways it happened. That's why it's called an illustration. But we will see this in seed form, these illustrations. And they inspire us. And they help us to understand truths. Amen. Hey, we're doctrinally sure we got security through the New Testament. We get that truth. But we get the examples of the illustrations through the Bible. Isn't it amazing how God intertwines and makes it all line up? I mean, you think about it. You take Abraham. You got Abraham over there in the book of Romans. And through the book of Romans, Paul, by the inspiration of God, is using Abraham as an illustration of a believer and his security in God. And then James takes Abraham and uses him as an illustration of the security of those that work and believe by faith. They use the same guy to teach two different truths. And they're using as a typified the patterns, amen. That's what it's teaching you. And some people get confused when they don't understand how it's just showing examples of how God actually does things. You will find the meat of how he done it in the dispensation that he give it. And the other things will just line up to help amplify it, if you will. So we see the believer's security is strikingly illustrated. Number four, in the book of Genesis, you will find the truth of separation is clearly taught. Separation is clearly taught. And you know, that's a New Testament doctrine. Separation has always been good. Matter of fact, you'll find in this Bible that separation is just a truth that works all the time. I mean, you come out from this world, you're going to be better off. And if you get around this world, you're going to feel the pains of it. Amen. The old saying is, you lay down with dogs, you get what? It just happens. That's just nature. Amen. And you find it in the beginning, God trying to show you that separation will help your life. Enoch's lot was cast in the days when evil abounded. But he lived apart from the world, walking with God. Abraham, amen, was called upon to separate himself from idolatrous Chaldeans and to step out upon the promises of God. Lot is held up before us as a solemn example of the direful consequences of being unequally yoked with unbelievers and having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You'll find that in the book of Genesis. Abraham came out separated. God blessed him. Enoch walked with God. He was not, and God took him. He's a type of a New Testament believer being raptured out.
Amen.
Amen. And then you find Lot over there. When you played around with the world, he got burned. And we will find these examples, amen, as we study the book of Genesis. How many is that? Five? Four? Four? Number five. You'll find in Genesis God's disciplinary chastisement upon erring believers are portrayed. Now, if you leave the Lord, God's going to chasten you. You get away from God, you're going to feel this wrath. Amen. We know that's a New Testament doctrine in the book of Hebrews, right? Jacob is the standing example of what happens to a child of God who walks after the flesh instead of after the spirit. Amen. Jacob's all about filling his own belly, doing his own thing, right? He went out to this whole world. God got him. Esau was more than one wanting to fill his belly up, wanting to sold his birthright out. But Jacob, he's just a trickster. Just all about trying to trick somebody. But in the end, we are shown his divine grace triumphs over human frailty. Amen. Even in Jacob's life, amen, God had to discipline many times, but God overcame in his weakness, amen. God will chasten the erring believer. Number six, in Genesis we are shown the importance of the value of prayer. I mean, in seed form we see the importance of prayer in the book of Genesis. I mean, look in Genesis chapter number 20. Prayer works. In the first book you find that out, man, you better get a hold of God. You better stay away from these worlds. Amen. You better trust in the security of God. Genesis chapter number 20 and verse 17. Here's Elimelech. And here's the Bible says, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Amen. Abraham prayed unto God for Abimelech's life, and it was spared. Abraham's A servant cried to the Lord that God would prosper his efforts to secure a wife for Isaac, and God answered his petition in chapter 24. Jacob too prayed, and God hearkened to them. And what you'll find out with these great patriarchs of the Word of God in the book of Genesis, that they had a time where they communed with God. Abraham was often out building him an altar and speaking unto the Lord, and God showing the importance and the power of prayer through this first book of the Bible. Hey, you can't stress the value of prayer in anybody's life. Dependence on him. Number seven, I believe it is. In Genesis, the saints' rapture to heaven is vividly portrayed. Now, we know the rapture ain't even took place. Amen. Amen. Even in the rapture of the tribulation saints that happened after we're gone. Amen. The rapture hasn't took place, but it's portrayed in the Old Testament. Even in the book of Genesis. We've already mentioned him, Enoch. Enoch was the man who walked with God and was not, for God had translated him. You find that over there in Genesis, Hebrews chapter number 11. He did not pass through the portals of death. He was suddenly removed from these scenes of sin and suffering and transported into the realm of glory without seeing death. And you find that over in the book of Genesis. Hey, God one day is going to rapture some people out of an old wicked world.
Amen.
Then you get over to the New Testament, God begins to reveal these mysteries. Several mysteries that Paul taught about, and that one of those mysteries is the rapture of the church. Amen. That God's showing you he's going to take us out of here. And when we pick up our Bible and look back over there, God already showed a little insight of it when he picked up Enoch. but God revealed it later on. That's why a lot of things we see today, they couldn't see. It wasn't revealed. It was hidden. But as we study the book of Genesis, in light of the New Testament doctrine that we have, we will begin to understand these truths a little bit greater. And see the examples of how these things happen. Number 8, in Genesis, the divine incarnation is first declared. Amen. Do you know it was the coming of the one who was to be the supernatural only begotten Son was portrayed right at the beginning of the book of Genesis. Amen. God told us he was going to come. He was to enter into this world as none other ever did. He would be the Son of Man and yet have no human father. The one who should bruise the serpent's head was of the woman's seed. You find that over in the book of Genesis, the promise and the prophecy of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he showed up. And then you look back there and say, man, God said that way back then. Amen. It's going to be revealed. It's declared. We'll find these truths. What is it? Number 10? I don't have these numbered. Number 9, if you're writing. In Genesis, the death and resurrection of the Savior are strikingly foreshadowed. You could see it. You could see the rapture. You can see, the resurrection of the Savior. The ark in which was preserved Noah and his family were brought safely through the flood of death on the new earth. Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham, at the bidding of his father, is laid unresistingly on the altar. From it, Abraham received him back as a figure from the dead. I mean, we look at the ark and say, boy, how God took care of his people and brought them out of the destruction of this old world, separated them away from this world on that flood. And we look at the type over here of Abraham taking up his son on the mountain. It's a very, very clear type of the father, hey, laying down the knife on his son, taking the place, amen, and having the you know what Abraham said? He said, me and the lad's going to go yonder and worship, and we'll come again. You know, he was going to kill that boy. You see the resurrection of the Savior typified. You see it foreshadowed through the Old Testament. Number 10, in Genesis, we also learn the Savior's coming exaltation. Boy, he's going to be exalted, ain't he? You wait, he's going to get his day. Yeah, he came as a lamb, and he laid down his life, but he's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And you see it in the Old Testament. Amen. We learn of the Savior's coming exaltation. This is the strikingly typified in the history of Joseph, the most complete of all personal types of Christ. If there is the best type of Christ in the Old Testament, well, you will find it in the life of Joseph. Amen. What a godly man he was. Gave his life to the Lord. Who after a period of humiliation, he was humiliated, and suffering, was exalted to be the governor over all Egypt. That's what you see. Who's Joseph a type of? He's the type of Christ. Yeah, he was suffering. He was betrayed by his own brethren. Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. But thank God he's going to be exalted one day. You find that in the type of Joseph. You find it not only in Joseph, amen. You find it also in Jacob, too. On his deathbed, also declared of Shiloh, that unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Genesis 49:10. Amen. We see this in the Old Testament. Why these great truths that we have all the way in the New Testament, if you pick up those first 50 chapters of your Bible, you see them portrayed all through that book. Seed form. God planting the seed to produce the great tree of truth later on. In Genesis, number 11. The priesthood of Christ is anticipated. The Lord Jesus Christ is a priest, not after the Aaronic system, but after the order of Melchizedek. And it is in Genesis that this mysterious character who received tithes from and was blessed Abraham is brought before our view. Amen. That is a type of Christ's priesthood that's going to show up one day. Number 12. In Genesis, you see the coming Antichrist is announced. Amen. You see him showing his head up, and he's going to come. His announcement as the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3:15. Amen. You know the devil's coming. Amen. He's already working, but the Antichrist is going to literally show up on this earth. And boy, people are, you know all these things happening in this old world is preparing for Satan's kingdom. That's all it's doing. You look at all the junk the world's doing and all the lying and all, you know, the one world order and let's all come together. You got preachers that's caught up in that garbage. You know, we can't all come together. You hear him say, well, we just need to do it in the name of love and love everybody and it really don't matter what nobody believes. That's the devil, man. And they don't even realize how they're talking. Heard a guy today talking about how, well, you know, it really don't matter about truth as long as we just love one another. Man, how can you get that out of your mouth and be a preacher? That is devilish. That is the one world ecumenical movement. Let's all come together, and as long as we can shed a tear and love one another, that's all that matters. Man, you shed a tear and it ain't in truth, it does not matter. Your mushy, so-called hypocritical love is not the way God made it. Amen. He's setting it up, man. Man of Christ, he's announced the seed of the serpent. He is seen, foreshadowed in the person of the history of Nimrod, the rebel against the Lord, the man who headed the first great federation in open opposition of the Most High God, you know. Nimrod stepped out on the scene. Hey, go, let's make a tower to Babel, they said, you know. Let's make a way. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. Yeah, that's the Antichrist's system, man, and he's coming. And he's typified through characters in this book of Genesis. Number 13. In Genesis, we first read of God giving Palestine to Abraham and to his seed. Hey, God gave that land to his people. You find that in the book of Genesis. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Look in Genesis 12. We're kind of just hitting some highlights here. Give me a little thought of how this thing's going to work. Truths that you can find in the book. Genesis 12 and 7. The Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And again, in chapter 13 and verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. God promised his people a land, and it's theirs. How many people don't like it? The United Nations can get together and fight against it. God gave it to his people, and that's the way it's going to be. And one day they're going to have it. In Genesis, number 14, we see the wondrous future of Israel is made known. Genesis 13, 16. Look at that. He said, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that it is, if a man can count the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Did you ever try to count dust? He also said it was like the stars of heaven. Amen. There's some typification and some types in that also. Amen. The stars, the dust. You see that thing? He talks about Abraham's seed. That heavenly seed, that stars in type where Abraham's seed, the spiritual seed. And then you got the dust of the earth, its physical seed that's going to inherit the land. You see, there's types all through there. The future is made known. He's going to make them. He's going to give them their land. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God's going to give it to them. Number 14, in Genesis, we see the judgment of God on the wicked is solemnly exhibited. Amen. Cain confessed his punishment was greater than he could bear, but he got it. The flood came on the world of the ungodly and swept them all away. Hey, God will judge the wicked. Amen. You say, well, that's not the God of the Bible. They ain't picked up their Bible. Yeah, for God so loved the world he gave. They ain't nobody loved us like God. But that same God that loves is the God of wrath. He's got a just balance and a just way. You go by his son and you get his mercy. You go against his son and you get his wrath. You go against what God has laid out for you, and God's judgment is going to come down on your life. You say, well, I don't believe our God will send nobody to hell. Well, you just try him out. Amen. You'll find out in the Old Testament. Ask Cain how much his punishment was. Ask those people in the flood, apart from Noah and his family, how it turned out. Well, I don't believe God will judge nobody. Yeah, every one of them died, except Noah and his family. Ask the people down at Sodom and Gomorrah if God don't judge. When he burnt the whole city down and even got Lot's wife when she turned back and turned to a pillar of salt. Amen. Hey, till naught but their ashes remain, God fired down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife, for one act of disobedience, has turned into a pillar of salt. What a marvelous proof is all this of the divine authorship, who but the one who knows the end from the beginning could have embodied in germ form what is afterward expanded and amplified in the rest of the Bible. That's how inspired that book is. That God in seed form could take these first 50 chapters and lay out so much truth that eventually will be played out in our lives that we live today. Isn't it amazing? Not only that, but before us, they play out. And after we're gone in the tribulation and even in the millennial, there's truth that still will be played out that is laid down in the first 50 chapters in the first book, in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. God, that's God-breathed, man. Ain't nobody can take one book and give in seed form what's going to happen in 66 books. That's a divine book, man. It demonstrates that there was one superintending mind directing the pens of all who wrote the latter books of the Holy Scriptures. May the blessings of God rest upon us as we seek to enjoy some of the inexhaustible riches of the book of the beginnings. Amen. That's what Arthur Pink said. And I thought it was pretty good what he said. Now, we left out some of the stuff I didn't like what he said. And you can check it out if you've got his book on gleanings in Genesis. But there's some great truths found in this book. And when we begin to dig into it, we're going to begin to see the great truths that God's laid out before us. So that's a little bit of taste of what's going to go on. I want to look at the introduction that Dr. Ruttman gave and then the introduction another guy's given. And then probably, you know, 3 weeks after that, you know, we'll have probably one more week of introduction and get into chapter one. Amen. So that's what it's going to be. Amen. Any questions tonight? Huh? We need a name for our study, like the, you know, Wednesday nights with Esther. You were laying a lot of weight on Tim Sellers' shoulders, man. He didn't come up with a good one last time. We're going to have to come up with another one. Amen. So we'll lay it on him, amen. We'll come up with a study name, the book of beginnings, the beginning on Wednesdays. I don't know, but that's what we're going to be studying, amen. It's going to be good. We're going to open up this book and find out what God laid out in the beginning that is so applicable for me and you today, amen. Let's see. If you can, we're going to hang over and try to clean up the fellowship hall real quick and have it ready for Brother Terrence coming Sunday, amen. So don't forget about that. There was something else that I was going to say, I just forgot. Anything else? Brittany, you got any questions? No questions. That's what it was. I knew I was thinking of something. Yeah, we hadn't took up for the prison ministry. We had a fifth Sunday, was it January? And we didn't do it. So y'all kids, come on. Somebody get out the prison house. And if you got something you want to give to the prison